TSG Circle Trainings. About 7 years ago, I decided that I was going to change my education a little bit. That I was going to get that great education that I never had. No, actually, this journey started before then, but 7 years ago, I started getting even more assertive about this. So I went, okay, you know what? I'm working on this education that I really feel like is important. And I feel like I need this. I need to be more rounded out in the things that I know and understand. And I want to write more. And I want to read harder things. And I realized that I needed to lead a class called the Five Pillar Tutorial from George Wythe University. And so doing this, it would take 2 years because the program, the Five Pillar Tutorial program, was set up to take 2 years if I was going to, you know, lead it. And I would have people come to my house once a week, so every single Thursday night for 2 years. And then when they came, I would have lectures prepared, I would have writing workshops prepared, presentation workshops, and we would do colloquium and discuss books. And so every week I would have to have a book done and a paper done, or a presentation done and a paper done, or a speech done and a lecture done, or something like that for this group. And being the mother of, you know, little children at the time, because I still had a baby, you know, then that was a pretty big undertaking, really, at the time. But it really did shape me in so many ways to have this opportunity to discuss with people. Thomas Jefferson says that you speak first and then write. And it's odd because that is what I did before I wrote my book. I spoke about everything. I had audio presentations. Then I wrote the book. And so I did follow his model. But he says, you know, the reason why that you do that is so that you can discuss it. You can get the words out, but then also you can discuss it with other people. Being able to get that discussion out ahead of time is going to make your writing so much more deep. So many more people will be able to understand. So anyway, I started teaching this class, and I started really loving the discussions that were happening every week. They were adding so much to all of my writings and to my scholar experience. Well, I did this for 2 years. That was a real effort to keep it going, but we did accomplish it and finish it 2 years later. And pretty much the same group stayed with me the whole time doing this class. And after 2 years, I did not want to stop the discussion aspect. I wanted to keep talking about things and keep writing about things. And I knew that I had to have that discussion with those peers, those people who were working in the same direction that I was. So I decided that I wouldn't get together every week because that's just a little bit too much and we all needed a break from that. But that I would get together once a month with these same people and anybody else who wanted to join, and we would have a discussion group on different articles. We kept it to short things like that for a long, long time. Sometimes books, sometimes we would even discuss a video or something. We'd watch it and discuss it. So we'd meet for 3 months, discuss something that we had prepared to discuss. And then on the fourth month, we would get together and we would have a Junto night. And the Junto night, everyone would bring questions that they wanted to talk about, things that they were worried about, concerned about, or pondering. And then we would have treats. Everyone would bring treats, and we would discuss on that fourth night. And we have now kept that up for all these years. It's probably been, you know, 6 years or something. I don't know. It's been a long time. At least five. Probably 5 years. This night, this discussion group night, with my adult friends that happens once a month, is truly one of my favorite nights of the month. I mean, aside from like the nights I get to go on dates with my husband or something, these truly are my favorite nights. These are some of my dearest friends because I've discussed openly and honestly with them. They really know me. They get who I am. They have been there for me. You know, as I go through this experience, also our families benefit, I've noticed. So I've noticed that my children get this example of what it means, to be a scholar, what it means to embark upon a project, because we do projects every single month where, you know, we read something and get prepared to discuss. The group is very powerful. The people are really focused, they're assertive, and the group discussion creates this desire to take deliberate action in our communities, in our family, and in our lives. Now, for years, people have asked me about this group and how to set one up in their area and stuff, and I have thought, you know, really, these groups are so powerful, I should help people set them up. So I did for a really, you know, for a long time. I've been telling people, this is how you set up a discussion group, a group where you can, you know, meet together with friends and discuss different things. Well, over time, people started asking me for a different kind of a group as well. They started saying, Nicolene, we need a group for teaching self-government. I need to know people who are doing this that live by me. I've got to have friends that I can talk to about this. I need to, you know, have people to share my struggles with and to possibly get my questions answered with. And so people started asking me, hey, in my area, can I lead a group? Can I, you know, put a bunch of people together? What would you recommend? Kind of a thing. And so I realized, wow, you know what? This, enough people now have asked me this, that this is important. People have got to get these groups going. And I need to help them to make sure that they're successful, which is one of the reasons that I'm having this presentation today for you, is so that you can maybe have some helps as you're starting up your groups. Also, we're offering you the discussion material so that you don't have to find it. And as part of your membership, you'll get all of that will be sent to you every week. Or not every week, every month we will have new discussion material that anyone on, any person who's part of the TSG circles can use. So there's a couple of different reasons that I have come to find out why people want TSG groups. The reason why they want TSG groups is because they want the support from friends, people around them. But the other reason people have asked me for groups is because they say, you know, I've got this friend and boy, she needs a lot of help. But for me to just say, hey, this is what I think you should do, that might be a little bit much. And she's not the kind that wants to read a teaching self-government book or something. But if we had a group that got together and discussed parenting and stuff, boy, she would probably really love being part of that. And so I've had some calls like that too, and I realized one of the reasons that people want groups is because they want to share it with their friends in a way that's like non-threatening, that they would not feel judged or things like that, but instead it's an invitation to be part of a group of people who are doing wonderful things. So, and everywhere I see people doing this, there's a really powerful effect. So I've spoken before for people who, like a whole team of people who run a daycare or something. Well, then they all have the same principles that they're living by. They work together so well. Recently, I got back from a teaching presentation, a workshop thing in Arizona, and at an academy there. And they had all the parents of all the students that were going to be coming to the academy come to the seminar that I did. And that was so powerful because all of these people are now on the exact same page as each other. So this was super inspiring to me. I looked at this group and I thought, wow, this school is so lucky. Because they are, you know, one teacher can say, I need you to accept no answer, okay? And all of the children will know what that is because the parents have taught it to them. Or hopefully will have gone home and taught it to them, but I think they did. So when I think of TSG circles, obviously I think immediately of this image of a circle. And what is a circle? It's more than just that curved line that's on a piece of paper. You actually can't have a circle without the point that is in the middle of the circle. So there is a point that is in the exact center of a circle. That point is actually the thing that makes a circle. So we're going to get into just a little bit of geometry here, but once a point is made, then you can take lines and draw them an equal distance out from that point. So maybe each line is drawn out exactly 2 centimeters. And then after each line is drawn out exactly 2 centimeters, and you do as many of the lines as possible, then you can connect the edges of those lines with another line that will be curved. That other line forms the outside edge of the circle. So a circle, in order to make one that's exactly true circle, requires more than just drawing a rounded line on the paper. And this image of what a circle really is super powerful to me. I know many of you have heard me before talk about the wagon wheel principle, and this is similar to that. But as it applies to a group of friends getting together to discuss. So, that point in the very center of the circle is the thing that makes the teaching possible. So what would that point be? That point is shared vision, everyone in the group going toward a similar direction. That group could be shared morals. It could be shared beliefs, because when you get together with people in your group who share similar morals as you, then it's going to strengthen you. If you get a lot of people in your group who have different morals, you're able to have a fairly productive group, but it's not the ideal because you don't have, when you bring up the things that are most important to you, it might not sit well with everybody else, and you might not feel that you can completely and openly share with everyone. Now, I know that's ideal, and that's not always going to happen in every area. I've got a good friend. I was just talking with him actually last night, and he is part of a religion where there really truly is hardly any people his religion. And, you know, and he said, Nicolene, I identify with a lot of the people in your religion, really, with my morals and everything else, but I unfortunately don't completely fit in there and really don't fit in hardly anywhere because I don't have, you know, that same religion as everybody else. The one thing he does have that's the same as people in my faith is he has the same morals. He has the same values, and that's pretty powerful. So he could at least bond together with a group on those kind of values, and then there would just have to be an understanding that there's a little bit of a difference in religious outlook or worldview. Anyway, when at all possible, having the same worldview really does help, though. So that's your center, your shared vision of what you're doing with this group, and your spiritual or moral grounding your cores, and if you see, that's the core of the circle. Then all of those lines going out to the circle would represent each person putting forth the same effort. So each person preparing to discuss the article, each person, you know, trying to be on time. I know that doesn't work for everyone. I'm actually one of those that it's hard to work for, but because I live in the moment way too much. but giving everyone the same opportunity, the same value, so there's not one person that's way more valuable than somebody else, but that anybody could take an opportunity to lead the group and to, you know, be in charge that month perhaps or something like that. Now, I know, again, that's an ideal because you're not going to have every person putting forth the same effort. I know that that's way ideal, but how cool would that be if you really did hit a month or two like that? That would be pretty phenomenal, wouldn't it? And it'll probably be that first month, so it'll feel so good, and you can always compare to it. But there will be other times when someone didn't have time to read the article, or they had something come up, or maybe they didn't contribute as much, or because they had things on their mind. I mean, life happens. But the idea is that everyone's valued the same. And then on the outside is, you know, that relationship, that discussion that you're all having together when you're there, where you're sharing ideas, you're passing them backward and forward. There's no end and there's no beginning to a line that goes around the outside of the circle. It just goes and goes. And your discussion will be that way. One month will lead to the next month, and they'll all join together to be this one big round. Not only will you be hooked and united to each other because of the experience, but your conversation, your growth, will continue to move forward and forward from person to person. And all of you will create the circle for yourselves. So, I have a vision. I have a vision of making all the world leaders in their homes and in their relationships and in their communities. Now, I know that's just like, what, Nicolene? You can't do that one thing. No, it's true. I can't do that one thing, but I would love to see it happen. I would love to see people take ownership of their own behaviors, their own families, their relationships, their communities. Because once you take ownership of your own self-government, then that is what happens. And if enough people learn the concept of self-government, it can make a drastic effect in the places where all of us live. And to me, that is exciting. So that's what I hope for. And I hope that these circles are one way to help make that happen, so that more and more people get to learn about self-government and to become free. Because truly, when your emotions control your actions, you are in bondage. You feel like it's bigger than you, and you can't do that. You can't conquer that. And you feel like that the habit is going to just be the way it is. But it doesn't need to be. A person can choose to change their own heart and to change their own behaviors. They can choose to listen to that voice inside their hearts, which leads them towards truth. When you lead a TSG group, a circle, you want to lead it for purpose, not just passion. So it's really easy to get a passion. I could get a passion for planning out the colors of the clothes I wear, you know. I mean, I could get a passion for making quilts or something. There's all kinds of passions that could happen. But passions are going to be fleeting. They won't last necessarily. And they aren't always your purpose. So I'm hoping that when you lead this group and are part of this group, that there is a feeling of purpose associated with this group, that you actually see yourself as having a purpose to start this and to lead out in this way. And maybe it's your passion too. It could be both, but there is a difference. Passion can be pushy, it can be selfish, it often is selfish, something that will gratify you or make you just feel happy. But purpose is greater. Purpose suggests an alliance and an allegiance to a higher power for good. So where you're saying, let's say I had a purpose to make quilts. I know a woman who does have a purpose to make quilts. And she does it because there are people in other countries that need a blanket. And she truly feels like this is some way that she can serve her God by making quilts for people. And she does it under great hardship. I love that. I love that there are people like that living that purpose. And we should be doing these groups for the same reason, where we say, you know what, this isn't about me being the leader. This is about me valuing and helping other people around me. This is about me serving them so that we can create stronger, better families. Now, if that is your purpose and your passion, nothing will stop you. You will be very, very powerful. So, the function of a TSG circle is to get together and to discuss and to analyze, to empower, strengthen, and teach each other. And, you know, that's what it looks like. It looks like a group of people getting together once a month, sitting probably in a circle, and talking about what it is that you want to do as a group and in your families, and what principles you need for yourself and what you might be struggling with, and that kind of thing, so that you've got a group around you to help you. In today's social structure in society, having a group of people around you to help you is really powerful. That's what congregations and churches are for. And this is not in any way to replace a congregation in a church, in any way. However, sometimes even in congregations, people get a little bit disconnected. They feel it's unsafe to talk about the things that they're really struggling with at home. And they may not get as much of the help that they need from somebody as they could with a group like this. That said, we don't want the groups to be negative and excuse-making sessions and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because some people have a tendency to go that direction, but they should be places where they lift and empower and inspire, and where they unite and connect people together. Okay, so I want to share with you 10 steps, I guess, for how to set up a TSG circle. So step number one is you need to plan out a day. So you've got to plan, okay, I want to have this group. I want to meet once a month, which is what we recommend. What day would be the very best? What location would be the very best? Should I have it at my house every month? Should I have it at... should we switch from house to house? Should each person be in charge? Should we have food? Should we not have food? When should we have food? That kind of thing. So I told you that in my family, or not my family, in my discussion group, my little family of friends, we have food every fourth time. So every quarter, we have a Junto night where we bring food. But I know other people that get together for discussion groups, and they have food every time. And what they do is they meet at a different person's house every time. When it's at that person's house, they're in charge of leading the discussion and bringing a snack to share. And so they do it that way. It just depends on what you think would be best for your group. Number two, then you invite your friends to join. You give them an invitation. Who doesn't want to be part of a great group of moms and dads getting together to discuss? I mean, that's fantastic. Now, when you think about your people, you've got to think about, okay, how many makes a good group? 15? 20? I would never go more than 20, really. A group gets very difficult if it's too big. If you get up to about 20 people, you might want to switch it to be two groups. Just because if the group is too large, there are some people that won't talk. They just don't feel as comfortable in bigger groups. And they don't share and they don't get as much out of it. And it's not as enjoyable for them. Also, are you going to have this be a husband and wife group thing? Are you going to have it be just moms, just dads? How is it that you're envisioning setting this up? What do you think the people need in your area the very most? And you'll need to determine that. The discussion group that meets together at my house each month is for moms and dads. Husbands and wives can come. That doesn't mean that every husband comes, because there's only about three or four that will come. But that's okay. All the rest, the wives just come, and because the husbands don't feel super, you know, inspired to be there. They don't have time to read the things, and maybe don't even want to read the things we're discussing. So there's no pressure there. They just choose not to come. All right. The other way you can find, so how do you find people? That's probably another thought, is, so we've got to invite those people. You're going to find them in places like your church congregations, your neighborhood, people that go to school with your children, perhaps, people in your communities. You know, I have a homeschool community. That's where most of my friends come from, because we have the same core in so many different ways. And so, you know, that's one way to find people. And you can start with one other person, just so you know. If you've got one person to do it with you, start a group. And then just keep inviting anybody who wants to come. But there is another way that's going to be coming very soon. It's not quite done yet. But on our website, we are asking every person on their profile to type in what city that they live in. So that, now that doesn't mean that everybody's going to like know your house address that you put in or anything like that. If I have to send you something, I will look at your house address and I will send you something, but that information's not going to be shared with anyone. Anyway, but the site will have a map that will put little pinpoints of where people are. And so if you live in a certain area, say Denver, and you say there's got to be someone here in Denver who is doing teaching self-government who might like to do a circle with me because I really feel like that would benefit me, then you would go on the site and you would look at Denver and see who you can find there. And then you can connect them with them through the teaching self-government website. So you can send them a message through the site. And then you could exchange emails if you would like to get together with that person or not. So that's another way that I could see people being added to your group or you finding a group. You could even have an online group. I know there are certain websites that are for making groups online. And you could say, hey, I want to have a teaching self-government group on this site. And anyone can come from all over, and we're going to say this is the Catholic Teaching Self-Government group, or this is the LDS Teaching Self-Government group, or maybe this is just the Teaching Self-Government group. I mean, depends how you want to do it and how broad you want to be. Okay, number three. Then the next step is you assign the reading that's provided. At least 1 month ahead of time if you can. You want to give people a chance to read them. They're not going to be terribly long. Something that literally the day of you could probably sit down and read if you haven't read it yet. But you want to give people a little bit of time, especially for those people who have a tendency to like to be a little bit more prepared, a little bit more planned. I'm the kind of a person who can and does read something the day before or the day of and then discusses it that day or the next day. That does happen to me, and I'm okay with it, but not everybody would be okay with that. And then each member of the group will get those sent to them. So, you know, everybody who's part of the circle joins TSG Circles online, and then we send out all of the materials to everyone. And then your group, if you don't want to discuss the one that was sent that month, but maybe another one that was done before that you hadn't gotten to or whatever, then you can just decide as a group, hey, pull this one off the site, let's do this one. So then it will be up to you to decide which articles and helps that you can discuss. So number four, then you read it. Everyone reads the article and prepares. And you also can use the helps that are in the TSG support group. Or you could prepare by looking some things up on the implementation course, to add depth to your discussion. So we know that a lot of people right now who are leading groups and wanting to lead groups are part of the implementation course. That is ideal. That really does help make you a very good leader because you've already implemented so many things in your home or you're working on doing so. And so that puts you a little bit of a step ahead so that you can help people, maybe even field a few questions and say, well, you know, actually, Nicolene answered this question a little while back and this is what she said, you know, and you can share some of that. The TSG support group would be so ideal because we do answer questions all of the time on there. Every single week I answer people's questions. And so if you're on there or you hear those questions, chances are when someone's got a question, you might have heard me already answer it. And it's going to help your group. This is not a place that's like supposed to replace asking me questions. So, you know, we don't want you guessing at stuff, but you know, but it's a place where you can help each other find the right answer. And let's say that we're going to be discussing calmness. Well, there's probably a whole bunch of things on the support group and the implementation course on calmness that you could reference, which would be fantastic. Okay, step number five, send out a reminder email a few days before is usually a good idea. You know, in today's fast-paced world, we get going. And we are constantly, in a way, looking for, like, oh, when do I get to have a little bit of a break? Hopefully, your group is that break for a lot of people. I know it is for me. But for others, maybe it might not be. It's something they want, but it might not be a break. And if they get going fast enough, and they're not reminded, they could take a break on that night and not realize that they missed something until later, and then they'll feel bad about it. So I usually always send out something a couple of days before, and then I'll send out something right after the discussion, usually, that tells what we're going to be discussing for the next month, what we decided to discuss. So that's another thing. Then step number six is to pray. Now that's what I do, is pray. Maybe you'd meditate, but I know that in a group like this, truth must prevail. And truth comes from one source and one source only, and that is God. And so I invite that spirit of the Lord to be with me as I am with this group. And so before people come, sometimes even after they're already at my house, I will duck into my bedroom and say a prayer. Before I do anything, before I decide to record this, I said a prayer that I would be able to say the things that you would need to hear in order to help your groups. So, that to me is one of the most important, but maybe, you find direction in a different way. The most important thing is that you are inspired. You know, if you are ready to find truth and to listen to that voice of truth, and you've asked for it to be with you, then you will be a good leader for your group. You will say the right things and help those families in a good direction. And that is so important. Number seven. So number seven is you gather. And then you have a prayer as a group. And you have announcements. Talk about things that are going to happen next time. But also announcements that might be in your area. This is a great, you know, way to say, hey, I heard that this little orchestra group for children was starting up and we're going to do it. And, you know, my children play the violin, so they're super excited. If anybody else wants to learn anything or be part of this orchestra group, you know, here's a contact. I mean, this is a really great opportunity. Or, oh, the museum has a free exhibit on this. And I mean, there's just some wonderful things that you can share with each other during this time. If you're going to teach any kind of a youth group in your area or, you know, anything like that would be ideal to share with these parents who are trying to do special things for their families. They want something more. They want to unify with people like you. They want their children to know other people like you who are doing self-government. I mean, this is a massive community that you're making and that really we are making worldwide. I didn't realize I was making a community at first. I had no idea that that's what was happening. But somebody came up to me one day and said, wow, Nicolene, you've got a great community. And I said, oh, I do. I have a community. And really, when I talked about my vision and what I want, isn't that what I want? I want a community of people around the world who are able to be self-governed, who are able to teach all kinds of things to other people and perpetuate these principles so that they don't disappear again from our culture. This is what I am hoping for the world. And that means I've got to duplicate myself. And making these groups is one way to duplicate myself. We're going to also have other ways where people who've been on the implementation course and maybe been part of a group, that they'll get the opportunity to learn how to teach what I teach and go and present places if they want to. So that'll also be, you know, something. It's in the works. We're working on that because we do need to duplicate me as much as possible. Anyway, so we are making communities. And in our very distracted, disconnected world, communities are important. The right kind of communities are important. So, number eight is discuss. Okay, this is the moment. This everything leads up to number eight. You finally get to discuss with your friends. And there are different ways to start a discussion. So I'm gonna share with you in this section. This is the biggest step. So leave some good space for it in your notes. But we're going to talk about five different ways to share, to start or open a discussion, and then some discussion rules. Sorry about that. Apparently there's going to be some sounds that happen in the background. So ways to discuss. One way is each person takes a turn leading off. That's one option. So each person can just switch off months and be the person who gets to start talking about whatever it is, the aha that they had and what they thought was the most exciting. Or you could do read a quote and go, which means, you know, you pick an inspiring quote, read it, and then let people just launch from there. There has to be a launching place for the discussion, and sometimes a quote means you don't have to like pick a topic. They'll just go from that topic and then hook everything else together. The next way that you can begin a discussion is each person brings with them two questions that they feel like would be good discussion questions for the topic at hand, and then they actually will turn to another person and share one of their questions, or maybe even both of their questions, but usually just one, and they'll start talking about that particular question with the person sitting next to them for about, oh, maybe 5 minutes. They'll each share one question. And then they turn back to the group and you say, okay, who wants to get going? And at that point, they are excited about the questions that they've already just scratched the surface of and started discussing. And so, you know, at that point, the discussion really goes forward. The next way to lead a discussion is to share your biggest aha, or that inspiring moment, or that moment when you went, oh yes, that is exactly what I need for this, or oh, I never thought of it that way, why can't my brain work that way, or, you know, whatever it is. And each person just thinks of their biggest aha, and then you just go from there. Also, you could start with sharing a TSG success story, where you say, okay, you know what, this is something that happened to me this week. I got to tell you, last time we talked about calmness, and I really have been struggling with that, and I've been trying really hard. My goal that I set after last time was to do this, and you know, and guess what? I had this experience, and you share your experience with the group, and that's so inspiring. It leads people off in the right direction, and then you make sure to add bits of the discussion material into the discussion coming up. So, what are the rules for a good discussion? The rules are, that I try to follow anyway, are, you know, if you're the person leading the group, try not to talk too much. Now, I don't always follow that the very best, because I love to talk so much, and so I have to try to, like, hold back and not be the person who's talking as much. Really, when you talk a little bit less, when you choose your words carefully, that doesn't mean you want a quiet discussion group. That just means you don't want to monopolize it. But when you choose the things you're going to say carefully, then you actually have more of an opportunity for that spirit of truth to be heard. Next is, you need to set the ground rules. So, especially on the first time you ever have a discussion, but maybe even every time, just really quickly say, okay, so this is how the discussion should run. Some people may have different opinions, that's okay. We don't necessarily need to raise our hands, but do try not to interrupt other people or to have distracting side conversations that would, you know, make it so the discussion is difficult to carry on with. Make sure you give other people a chance and that you don't monopolize too much of the time, you know, things like that. And you can bring out for, and then also saying, if we get off task, you know, if we get too far off on a tangent and it seems like we're not going to come back, I might bring us back to that. So don't be offended. I just want to make sure that if we've read this, that we get the opportunity to discuss it, you know, just things like that. You lay out the ground rules. And appreciate the differences in everyone too, you know, because there will be differences. Even people who have the same religion or, you know, the same core principles could have some differences, personality differences or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And they have different things they're trying to conquer. Appreciate that. Don't judge it. Don't compare it. Help the person along and value them no matter their differences. Also, one of the rules is it's okay to say, I don't know, especially in a group like this. It's okay. So don't try to speak for me, especially if you really don't know what I would say. So we don't want to give people like the wrong impression ever of teaching self-government. We would hate for someone to be making things up on the side and saying that that's what we say. You know, of course, that's not the way to do it. But if somebody asks something and they say, well, you know, this rule of three, what do you do? If they follow it for a little bit, but then they go back to being out of control, what do you do there? And if you really don't know, then say, you know, I don't know, but I think we should ask that on the support group. Let's just ask it for this next week's call. And then Nicolene will answer that for us. So that actually is a really great way to take care of that. Another thing that's really good to do in a discussion is to restate what people say. It does a couple of things. It makes sure, you know, you're seeking to understand, but it also shows that you value what it was they said, that it actually was good. So many people look for validation, and when they come to a group like this, they feel so vulnerable. And so if you can just remember that when somebody says, you know, well, could this be actually, you know, a good idea for a family activity? And then you go, wow. So you're saying that, you know, we should do this other, you know, thing for a family activity. That is a great idea. Okay, all you have to do is restate it. You don't even have to add to it, you know, but just to say that to a person, then they go, oh, I did something good. But if you just move on and don't acknowledge, and I know not everybody likes to praise and acknowledge, but if you don't acknowledge and you don't praise, there could be a chance that that person emotionally could feel like, I don't know if my comments were really, you know, valued or needed by the group. Maybe I shouldn't come to this. Keep that in mind. There are people who are more fragile than other people, and who have lower confidence levels, and who could feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm contributing very much good stuff. You know, maybe I shouldn't come to this. And they could have a hard time. The last thing you want is for someone to drop away from coming to something that they need because of that. Plus, it makes you feel good. A person that gives praise is a very powerful person. If you can praise another person, you're so very unselfish. And you really get it. You know, that's the sign of confidence. If you can praise another person, you are a confident person. Because if you're worried about keeping all of that praise in, all of that positive energy pointed at you, you're not very confident, are you? And that's actually quite a selfish thing to do. So keep that in mind. Confident people praise. That's the sign. If you're not sure you're really confident, just teach yourself to praise anyway, and soon you will become so. I already mentioned before, but another one of the rules is bring it back on course if it gets too far off the beaten path. Some of those tangents are really worth it. Some of those tangents are like, oh, that's the reason we came tonight, was for that tangent, you know. I mean, some of them are great, and if you feel like there's a lot of good energy about that tangent, but if somebody is just giving you the minute by minute of every play of things that happen in their home, or they're just griping about this and that, they're making the energy negative, whatever it happens to be, try to bring everybody back. Try to ask a question that then puts everybody going in a new direction, so that you can save that meeting from, you know, kind of not being your favorite. There will be some that aren't your favorite, because people come with different, you know, baggages every night. Every time you get together, sometimes people will be just on fire. Sometimes people will be stressed, burdened, tired, distracted. I mean, there's just things that can happen. And so don't take it personally if for some reason one of your meetings, one of your discussions feels a little bit like, that one, it just didn't turn out like I wanted it to. That's okay. Move on. That happens. And it usually has nothing to do with you wanting it to go that way. It has everything to do with the fact that you're gathering a collection of people together, and they all bring with them different issues. So no worries. Next is really truly seek to understand the other people. Don't be judgmental. Don't think bad things about the other people that are in the group. Even if they're difficult, even if they say things that drive you crazy when they come, don't think those bad things. It will come out in your facial expressions, in your countenance, in your tone, and it will be seen and felt by the entire group. The best thing you can do is value them. Think in your mind about the good things that they offer, and understand where they're coming from, where at all possible. Because, you know, some of those people that are very annoying or seem to ramble on and on or whatever, they really are dealing with a lot, and they're trying to sort it out. And maybe we can have a little bit of compassion, you know, on those people instead of being judgmental. I know that's easier said than done, but chances are this is going to be the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Okay, number 9. I'm really excited about number 9 because this is something I don't have in my discussion group, but maybe I'll add it. And that is setting goals. Setting goals in a journal. So each person will bring a little journal, a tracking journal. And they'll set goals in that each time. A goal that they can quantify, meaning a goal that is easy to see how it's going to be achievable. So if I just say, I'm going to praise people more, that's a good goal, but it's going to be really hard to achieve because what does more mean? How much is more? Is it more one more time? Is more 10 times a day? Is, you know, what does that mean? So a goal should be something like, I am going to praise my husband 5 times every day. That is a great goal. It's a baby step, but it's a great goal. So then, at the end of writing their goals in their journals, if they would like to, now they don't have to, but if they would like to, they can share so that they can be held accountable and say, this month I am going to praise my husband 5 times a day because I don't praise him enough. And so I want to report back to you next week. Ah, this beautiful aspect is where all of you will mentor each other. This will be the moment that changes your little discussion group into the group that moves you all forward. Won't that be wonderful to be part of that group? Number 10. It is important to have a social every so often to make a full community. So there's different ways that you can have a social. Like we do at once a quarter, we bring snacks and stuff and we just discuss and we have a little bit more casual environment and have food. You know, that's a social. Once a year, it would be really awesome, or twice a year. Have a social with all the families. Have everyone get together so that you really do have a full community. So that all those husbands or wives that aren't coming and the children that get to be patient each month, they know the people you're meeting with and they understand what you're doing and they get to have something fun to look forward to each year, to get together with this group as well, and they can make friends with them. I mean, you want to be friends with people who are doing the same kinds of things as you. That just makes logical sense. There truly is power in one person or one family living deliberately. You starting this group are so brave, so courageous, so deliberate. You're going to plan something like this, knowing there could be a time when no one shows up. Trust me, it's happened to me. Don't let it devastate you. It can happen. You are going to step out there and say, I'm going to share what I have. I'm going to discuss what I know. And I'm going to learn from others. That is a massive thing to do. And truly is that symbol of one person changing many, many lives. So don't hide your light or your knowledge. Share it. These TSG circles truly do have the power to change the entire world. Thank you so much for being part of this with me, because with all of us being one person, we will have a profound impact on future generations of time.